Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we've been celebrating all week the beginning of this glorious season of the church year, season of Advent. We're beginning, again, the journey that we take as a pilgrim people. The church in her wisdom, the church is our mother, the church leads us through the life, passion, death, and resurrection, and ascension into glory, and the whole story of Christ, of Jesus, God's plan, the Father's plan, and the work of salvation. And so we're beginning now in the season of Advent, because ultimately this season will culminate, as we know, with the celebration of Christmas and the birth of our Lord and the Incarnation. So we've been touching on this week so far some of the themes that are part of it. Firstly, obviously preparing for his Incarnation, what that means. Also, are we receiving him in our life now? Are we walking with him now in a way that acknowledges that he's coming to us now? He didn't just come in the Incarnation once, but he's coming to us every day, living with us. And then are we ready for the ultimate return of the Lord? So if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I've been touching on these things from the Catechism and Scripture, just reflecting on them. And then today I want to try something that might be a little challenging to do for a short radio program early in the morning. I want to talk about the Incarnation in a particular way in the church's teaching on the hypostatic union, the union of God, the Son, with human flesh. What is that? And that's what's happening in the Incarnation, really, is the hypostatic union, and heaven and earth are coming together in his person. And there's some technical ways of describing it. I'm hoping to try to touch on that just a little bit, but hoping not to bite off too much. So Holy Spirit, help us just to touch some of this from the Catechism, from Scripture, so that we can understand it a little bit for those in particular who are interested. So the hypostatic union, the union of the divine and human natures in one divine person, that is Jesus Christ. And the technical word for one divine person is the hypostasis, the divine and human natures in one person. The church understands that Jesus Christ is one divine person, eternal Son and second person of the Holy Trinity. He possesses two complete natures, the divine nature. He's fully God, eternal, omnipotent, and consubstantial with the Father. He's of the same nature as God the Father. He's the eternal Son of God. So he has a divine nature. But he also has a human nature. He's fully man with a human soul, intellect, will, and body. That's why the church said he's true God and true man. It's not a blending. It's not a partial mixture, but two perfect natures in one divine person. Very important to understand what God is doing there. It's a great mystery. It's absolutely profound, but this is how the church articulates by God's grace and help the church understand it more fully and to answer a lot of questions that people have from it. So some of the scripture foundation of his divine nature, John 1:1-3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Colossians 2:9, in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. The whole fullness of God dwells bodily in the person of Jesus. Hebrews 1:3, he is the radiance of the glory of God in the exact imprint of his nature. So Jesus is not something sort of half God and half man, or somewhere between God and me, for example, you know, a human person. He's fully God and he's fully man. So John 1:14, talking about his human nature, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Philippians 2:6-8, though he was in the form of God, he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Jesus didn't leave his divinity somewhere. Jesus took on human nature, humbled himself. Hebrews 2:17, he had to be made like his brethren in every respect in order to bring about our salvation. For the human race to be saved, to be ransomed, to be brought into the presence of the Father, to become the new creation, he had to become one of us. One of us had to die on the cross. But the one who died on a cross on our behalf was perfect, was without sin, was totally innocent. And he became a sacrifice for our sin, a free offering of love to the Father out of radical obedience. So one of us, this always stirs my heart, one of us from the earth in human flesh gave to God what Adam and Eve were meant to give to God, and every single one of us, to do justice to God from this earth. Jesus, the second Adam. Where Adam failed to stand, Jesus is the victor. As one of the, I remember hearing that song and the phrase years ago, Adam failed, Jesus won. God the Father's plan was recapitulated, his fundamental purpose for the human race in the person of Jesus. Here's some paragraphs from the Catechism that touch on this balance in the hypostatic union. Paragraph 464, the unique and altogether singular event of the incarnation of the Son of God does not mean that Jesus Christ is part God and part man. He became truly man while remaining truly God. Jesus Christ is true God and true man. The Council of Ephesus played a key role in articulating this. That's from way back in AD 431. The Word, uniting to himself in his person, the flesh animated by a rational soul, became man. So you have a rational soul, I have a rational soul. The soul is the life principle of the body. You have a spirit as well. So the Word, that is the Word spoken in the beginning, was the Word, Jesus. In his person, the flesh is animated with a rational soul, like us, became man. The humanity of Christ has no other subject than the divine person of the Son of God. The divine Word did not unite himself to a human person, but to a human nature. Jesus is not two persons, one divine and one human, but he's one person with two natures. The divine Son of God took on a human nature to save the human race. Chalcedon again, paragraph 467 from the Catechism. One and the same Christ, Son, Lord, and only begotten, made known in two natures without confusion, without change, without division, and without separation. Without confusion and change. What did the council mean, Chalcedon? The divinity and humanity remain distinct in Jesus. Without division or separation, they're united perfectly in one person. This just is nothing that's ever happened that's greater than this. That's how close God is to us. That's how much the Father loves us. And God's love, the God who created and holds all things in being, became one of us. And he humbled himself. Friends, humility is so misunderstood and undervalued in the world. I mean, it's a value out there, but not even close to how it's revealed in the person of Jesus. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is humble. God is humble. That's just mind-boggling to me. And fallen man is proud. We can only be saved by the humility of God. That's how we were saved. That's how we will be saved. And that humility is expressed in Jesus' kenosis, is emptying himself of his full divinity and all of his rightful claims in order to save a people that the Father, that bears the Father's image and who the Father loves. Paragraph 468 from the Catechism. The divine subject of all Christ's acts. So Jesus Christ is true God and true man. Christ's human nature belongs to the divine person of the Son of God, who assumed it. Again, let me read that. Christ's human nature belongs to the divine person of the Son of God, who assumed it. So the Son of God assumed that human nature. Every act of Jesus, his speaking, his suffering, his dying, his rising, is an act of a divine person operating through human nature. Here's some of the things the saints have said. St. Athanasius, 4th century. He became what we are that he might make us what he is. Sorry, let me say that again from the document he wrote on the incarnation. He became what we are that he might make us what he is. God's assumption of humanity is not an illusion. It's the path to our deification. If Christ were not truly God and truly man, we could not be truly redeemed. That's what it's about. Redeeming us. Paying a price for us. Releasing us from the bondage. Making it possible not only to be brought out of jail, so to speak, but to become a new creation. By being united to the new creation that's in the resurrected and ascended humanity of Jesus. This is where the gift of hope is so important. Really, all three, obviously, faith, hope, and love. Faith allows us to see this. Hope is, we're already laying hold of it. We don't have it in full possession, but we see in God's plan and purpose and the glorious majesty of Jesus and his plan, we have a confident expectation that the promises that are given to us and the down payment made to us is going to reach its fulfillment, participating in the very life that Jesus has won for us. And he brought it to be in his own person, in his own being. Saint Cyril of Alexandria from Council of Ephesus, we do not divide the one Lord Jesus Christ into two sons, but we confess one Son and Lord, the Word made flesh. Jesus' divine and human realities are inseparable. He is one Son, not two. Leo the Great in Council of Chalcedon in 451, he who is true God was born in the complete and perfect nature of a true man, whole in his own nature, whole in ours. Christ did not cease to be what he was, that is God, when he became what he was not, a man. His divinity and his humanity coexist in full integrity. Thomas Aquinas, such a wonderful teacher on all this, just one thing from the Summa Theologica. I know it's too early in the morning for all this, isn't it, friends? I hope this is inspiring you because it's so important and it's so profound. Since in Christ there is one person and two natures, the operations belong to each nature, but the subject is both one, the divine person. That is, Christ's divine and human actions have one and the same personal subject, that is the eternal Word, the second person of the Trinity. When Jesus weeps and teaches and forgives, God weeps, God teaches, and God forgives through his human nature. And of course, I have to read something from St. John Paul II. He's one of my all-time favorites. In the mystery of the incarnation, the divine and the human meet in the person of Christ. God enters our history, and man is brought into the life of God. The hypostatic union is the bridge. He didn't say that, but that's just something that I'm saying. The hypostatic union is the bridge by which humanity is drawn into divine communion. Friends, that's what we're celebrating, the mystery of the incarnation. Jesus is the bridge. Lord, thank you so much. Lord, help us be enriched. Help us be animated. Help us take this deep, deep in our souls and that we can receive everything that you want for us so that your perfect will might be done in our lives. Friends, we are weak and broken people, but he can do it in us if we say yes. God bless you. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.